G'day folks, and welcome to Happy Days. This is your pal Jesse on the mic, thanking each and every single one of you for tuning in and listening to this podcast, proudly brought to you by my very own Freak Productions. Come along and support the journey that I'm proudly bringing to the universe. Check it out at www.freekproductions.com. That's spelt with two E's. Why? Because when you look up the word freak, it means too weird to be a freak. So aren't we all? Now, I just want to take a moment, as always, just to say a huge thanks to everyone that tunes into this podcast. It's been getting a bit of love lately, and I'm so grateful for it. Honestly, if I can be brutally frank with you all right now, I don't go and look at all the statistics and all the numbers. I quite honestly don't care about that. What I care more about is the fact that I can put a smile on your dials and give you a happy dose of awesomeness for your week. And if you're inspired by some of the stories and the people that I speak to week in, week out, that's all the satisfaction I need. Because I'm not here to get thousands of followers or anything like that for this podcast. I just want to reach as many people as possible and inspire others to go out there and live their best life, whether it's creating, whether it's being an athlete, whatever. It's all about being our best person, okay, and being our happiest person. So this week I speak to a fellow creator and a filmmaker at that. I'm really excited. I've been wanting to speak to this guy for some time. I get to speak to Dustin Schmidt, a passionate musician and filmmaker who is about to release his debut movie, The Last of the Pretty Boys. And he's also the singer guitarist in a band called Northern Lights, but he's done a bunch of short films. He's a really well-spoken individual. He's got a really good head on his shoulders about what he wants to do in life, man. And it's incredibly inspiring. I have to apologize in advance because we had quite a few technical gremlins interrupt our conversation, which is sad because it's a really good conversation. So I've done my best to clean it up as best as possible for you. I plan to definitely do a follow-up chat with Dustin in the near future. So hopefully the gremlins won't be there then. But this is a great chat with a guy who has a vision and sees it through. He's won awards, and the greatest award is seeing his dream come to life. And it's coming very soon in the form of his debut film, The Last of the Pretty Boys. I've seen the trailer. I'll put the trailer in the description box. It's all kinds of exciting, and it's a real rock and roll movie made by a guy from a rock and roll background, featuring rock and roll people. It's legit, man. This is as legit as it comes. So without further ado, let's get on with my Happy Days chat with Dustin Schmidt. Hey, man. Dustin, thanks so much for being here and sharing your Happy Days with me, bro. This is an absolute honor.
No worries, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, bro. So we're going to have a little chat about the wonderful creative world of filmmaking that you're so deeply engrossed in, my friend. And if we can dive a little bit into the backstory, the backstory as well, that'd be really cool. Yeah, man. So you're pretty close to getting off the ground with your big movie, The Last of the Pretty Boys. Is that correct?
Yeah. We're about a week away from finishing post-production. We've started talking to distributors. I'm pretty optimistic it'll be out before the end of the year.
That is freaking exciting, dude.
Yeah.
How does it feel for you, man? Like seeing something that's so close to release that just began as an idea and is now just blown to this level?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's kind of hard to process it all. I mean, it's been about 6 years since I first wrote my first draft of the script. And then it's kind of been nearly 2 years of, you know, since we first started production of the film. And yeah, it's just a massive, massive undertaking, but it's insane seeing you, all these characters that have been just floating around in my head for so long, finally come to life.
It's, yeah, I love the trailer, man. The trailer is so good. Yeah, bro. It just, there's so much sincerity and depth to it because, you know, being first and foremost that you are a musician yourself, you have lived the rock and roll lifestyle. So it's kind of like, it's very El Natural for you. It's the voice there is legit, if I may be so bold to say.
Yeah. Well, I think that's kind of definitely part of the reason for doing it too, is that like you watch a lot of those kind of rock and roll biopics and movies like that, and a lot of them don't really feel authentic, you know. It's like, it's clear these people kind of haven't lived that life and don't sort of know the ins and outs of that kind of world and stuff. And I thought, you know, once I kind of stumbled onto the idea of it, it was like, oh, okay, this is something that I kind of have to tell.
Like watching the trailer, like one of the things that drew me was just the mix of characters, but also your main guy, your lead singer character was just really stupid, man. Like I was just like, damn, man, this is bona fide rock star, man. This is, yeah, I'm in. I'm convinced. This is great. So, I mean, how was that process for you to find your lead guy?
That happened really easily, actually, because I wrote the script while I was in Friendly Fire, and I was sort of, you know, wrote it with Alex in mind as that character. You know, we kind of, you know, playing in the band together, living that sort of life together, and it's sort of, and yeah, we kind of talked about it for years about doing this movie, and then years later, the stars all aligned.
Yeah, yeah. Was Alex like a, you know, was he an actor first and foremost, or was this like a new territory for him?
We worked together before doing this kind of stuff. I think that's what really led to it. I wrote this TV pilot called Valley Girls back 2016. I was doing my honors at uni. That was my main kind of project, was making this, and we pitched it to, you know, Channel 9 and ABC and a few places. And that was his first sort of experience acting, was playing this sort of gothy rocker character. Yeah,
cool.
Pretty similar kind of territory, but yeah, that we did that, and then we came up with this web series together called Adult Lad with Joel, who's also from Friendly Fire, and he plays the record executive in the movie.
Awesome.
Yeah, and it was this sort of bogan superhero that's sort of, you know, a parody of Australian stereotypes and sort of superhero stereotypes and stuff, and it was a lot of fun. And then he's acted in other people's short films, and then, I mean, just being on stage and performing is a sort of, that's an act in of itself, you know. You learn how to engage with the crowd and that sort of thing.
That's so cool, man, because like I love like how you just kept it all close together, you know, like a tight community, like family. And it just brings me to, I listened to a really cool interview of Rob Zombie the other day, and he was talking about, you know, the family aspect of the way he does things. And it's very reminiscent of what you're doing. So props to you, man. That's cool.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely an influence. I mean, that would be the ultimate career, right? Going from movie to album, then to comic books, you know, like jumping back and forth between different sort of mediums.
Yeah, definitely, man. It's definitely the dream, man. But yeah, like I'm all kinds of intrigued, man, because you got an interesting story. Because I, you know, I've known you for a while, and you know, I've always known you as that the rock and roll guy playing guitar in the band, and you know, and all that. But then when I see you starting making movies and that, I'm just like, dude, hello, this is interesting. You know, it's all kinds of inspiring. So I guess what came first for you? Was it the rock and roll journey or the filmmaking journey, like studying that?
Music came first. I think ultimately, like, I mean, it really goes back to being about 8 or 9 years old and wanting to be a writer. That's kind of, I love comic books and I love movies. I've just figured I'd write novels because, you know, if you write a book, you don't need anyone else. You can just sit there with your computer and,
100%.
You know?
Yep.
So I never really even thought about filmmaking as an option. It wasn't until I saw her, it was an interview with Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
And I was like pretty young, playing with my action figures. And my dad kind of comes into my room and is like, you have to see this. And he's talking about how he started out just, you know, making up stories with his G.I. Joes and how that eventually kind of led him to wanting to be a writer and sort of,
That's
so I saw
cool.
that, and that kind of was like that. Before that, I just figured, you know, you're doing the, you know, directors I'd even heard of were like George Lucas and Steven Spielberg. I just figured, yeah, you know, movies magically came fully formed out of Hollywood. It didn't kind of, until that moment, it sort of clicked. It's like, oh, wait, no, people actually have to do this. Someone's got to sit down with an idea and write this thing and make it and sort of bring it to fruition.
Yeah.
So it was a long time before I kind of actually decided to pursue filmmaking, right? Because I started playing guitar when I was 12,
mm-hmm,
and playing in bands and, you know, just listening to everything I could get my hands on, going through, you know, genres, going, you know, getting to grunge and listening to nothing but grunge for the next month, or, you know, then you find glam metal, then you find, yeah, you know, death metal, or, you know, just, you know, getting into Opeth or Mastodon or getting, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Just finding all these different sort of offshoots and going, oh, this so band's cool, influenced by this thing and they're covering, yeah, this thing, and you just sort of branch out and discover all those different subgenres and,
yeah,
whatnot. So I was kind of pursuing that. And when I was about 15, I found out about this school called Music Industry College,
mm-hmm,
which is in Fortitude Valley. It's a, yep, sort of a
is that Brett Woods?
Brett Wood, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Fucking small world.
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. He was my principal. So
no way.
Yeah, so I went to the MIC wanting to pursue a career in music, but there was only 6 classes on offer, and you had to get 5 to do your OP. So, mm-hmm, I took, you know, you could take an extra class as a backup class in case something didn't go well. So I was basically just taking film and TV as my backup class.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started making these little zombie movies and just really fell in love with it and realized, oh, this is a great avenue to be able to kind of tell stories and stuff. Because I'd always loved doing that. And then I think the moment it really, really clicked, I remember the day, it was October 1st, 2010.
Yeah.
And we went on a school excursion to the Tim Burton exhibition.
I remember that.
Yeah. Yes. I remember going in there and seeing, you know, the Batmobile, seeing all these costumes and props and, yes, storyboards and all this stuff laid out in front of me. And that was the moment where I'm like, this is what I need to be doing with my life. I kind of vowed on that day. I was like, I'm going to make a movie. I'm going to be a director. And it was exactly 10 years to the day, October 1st, 2020, that we started rolling our first day of shooting on Last of the Pretty Boys.
Oh, my God. That is, yeah, spooky. Amazing. That's spooky. Oh, dude. I'm so in awe of you right now. That is sick. Oh, man. That's amazing, man. Like, that's just so inspiring to listen to right then and there, man. Like, the fact that you – I mean, for starters, I'm still listening. My brain is still processing back to your dad coming into your room while you're playing with action figures. That reminds me of me when I was a kid playing with action figures, and mum would walk in and pretty much say the same thing, you know, but she'd be like, hey, Sylvester Stallone's on the TV. And I'd be like, yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Because, yeah, to me, like as a kid, it was like, oh, this is basically a way to essentially play with your action figures for a living.
Yeah, right. That's so cool. So your dad sounds like he was a huge influence on you as well, man. Like,
yeah. Well, he bought himself the first sort of camera. I remember one day him coming home with this, mm-hmm, VHS camera, and he'd show us how to do, like, how to make people look like they're teleporting by, you know, cutting, you're using in-camera kind of trick photography and stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, me and my sister, and we'd gather up our friends from the neighborhood and make little short films, you know, little parodies of like Big Brother, or we did a Chappelle Corby sketch with one kid one kid wears a wig and has a boogie board, and we found this sort of plant in the front yard that looked, yeah, a little bit like a weed plant, so we ripped that off and had that sticking out of the boogie board, and then someone else chases around with a gun and we're just filming this ridiculous sort of sketch. My favorite one was we did like a talk show, but it was all characters from fairy tales. So we'd have, yeah, like Little Red Riding Hood and, you know, the Big Bad Wolf, or all, yeah, these people on a panel on a talk show being interviewed.
Dude, that is so much fun.
Man, that's kind of ultimately what it comes down to. It's just, yeah, it's having fun, you know. When I was at MIC and I started doing, once I made the decision, I guess, to be a filmmaker, then every term at school I'd do another little short. I'd do a different genre. I'd do like a little post-apocalyptic thing. I'd do a sci-fi thing. I'd do a zombie thing. I'd do like a, you know, get into Christopher Nolan and do a fucking non-linear crime drama, you know, whatever new thing I was discovering at the time. I'd just try and, you know, gather my friends together and use the school's equipment and go make a little short film. And like, it got to a point where, like, even in my art class, my art teacher Charlie was in the Winnie Coopers, he'd let me kind of make films as my art project once I kind of realized that was my thing, I guess. Damn. So then it was like, all right, I don't have a practical film and TV this assignment to make a short film this term. I'll just do it for my art project instead, and like, I'd use each kind of semester to try a different thing.
I love that. Trial and error, man. That's a brilliant way and process to really cut your teeth and learn the chops, right?
Yeah, just make a million little short films with your friends that you're never going to show to anyone. And then by the time you make enough of them, you'll kind of know what you're doing a little bit.
That's amazing, dude. Like that, I don't know about you, but that just seems like such a parallel to me of reminiscent of being a musician starting out. You don't try to write like a hit record straight off the bat. Like I always tell musos, like, don't friggin', you got to learn to walk before you run, dude. So get out there and just write all the shittiest songs you can. Write songs, jam, but the most important thing is have fun. And you've gone exactly down that route, but with filmmaking, and it just sounds like such a fun way of doing things.
Yeah, and it's kind of really fun too with this movie, especially because it's a fictional rock star, which means I've been able to write new songs for this character. You know, you're having like a scene where it's like a flashback to the teenage version of this character playing his first gig, and I've had to write this like really crappy song that sounds like the awful little punk songs I was writing at 13, 14 years old, you know?
Awesome.
And then even there are some songs that I did write as a teenager, and I'm like, okay, I can rewrite this a bit and make it a bit better, and it can kind of fit in here. And so being able to sort of incorporate music into the film has been awesome too.
That is so cool, man. I love that. So you basically essentially did the score as well for the film yourself?
Not the score, just the Lazarus Graves songs. I think there's six songs. I wrote five of them and Alex wrote one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the actual score itself, we've got a composer who's sort of done this nice sort of orchestral score that's I guess nice counterpoint to all the rock and metal and hip hop and everything else in there.
Yeah. 'Cause
like the entire, like every band that's on the soundtrack is, you know, a Queensland based band. There's, you know, probably a couple of dozen of local artists on there. I sort of handpicked a lot of my favorite bands and like people that I'd known for years and whatnot, you know, just to sort of try and put a showcase, I guess, on how many talented people we have in this music scene, you know.
There's
quite a bit, and like in just, you know, there's quite a few people that came in and have cameos in the movie too. Like it was very much really tried to sort of show a spotlight on some of the kind of cool artists we've got going on here, you know, even people that brought in to do like some the posters. And you know, there's like a fake talk show in the movie, and I had a friend of mine who's got some artwork published in the next issue of Maurice and the Metal, who did these nice kind of cartoon sort of logo for this talk show, and another friend who did like our fake cigarettes that we have in the movie and all that sort of thing.
Oh, that's amazing, man. Oh, dude, I gotta say it again, man. This sounds like just the most amount of fun. You must be all kinds of happy with the finished product, right?
Oh, it's just crazy seeing like, you know, something that I'd kind of seen in my head for so long finally brought to life. But
yeah, that's freaking amazing, dude. So give us a rundown on Last of the Pretty Boys. Like, give us a rough synopsis of the film.
All right, so it follows this kind of shock rocker called Lazarus Graves.
Mm-hmm.
And he's from Queensland, and he's kind of made it big. He's living over in LA now. He's put out a bunch of albums that have done really well, and he's kind of come back home for this sort of homecoming tour before he releases his new album. And it's sort of, we just sort of follow him over the course of a week coming back home and sort of having to face his demons. These people from his past keep coming back, and he's got to sort of work through a lot of things. There's a lot going on in old Lazarus Graves' head. But yeah, it's really just a peek behind the curtain at this sort of larger than life rock star. We get a few sort of flashbacks and a bit of an insight into how he became the person he is today. But for the most part, it's just sort of like exploring his world. We're just kind of getting a sneak peek into the world of Lazarus Graves.
That's so cool, man. I love that. That's a really good idea. And I love also the fact that what you talked about, utilizing, you know, local Queensland bands, showcasing them in throughout the film, but also like showcasing local Queensland venues. I remember in the trailer spotting Tomcat in there, which I thought was super cool. Like, was it hard to convince venues to allow you to film? Yeah, I was just asking you about venues. I loved seeing Tomcat's in the trailer. Was that hard to convince venues to, you know, be a part of the filming?
No, they were really, really helpful. They were, I think they were just happy to sort of, you know, be a part of things and help sort of local artists doing their thing. You know, they were really, really supportive. You know, we had Tomcat. We shot some stuff at the Cave-In, which was really fun.
Nice, nice.
A few places around Ipswich, like Golby's Basement. That was a really cool shoot. And even places like the Coic Hotel hosted this little thing we did called Lazarus Fest, where we hosted a little festival sort of to celebrate the end of filming and stuff. We got this whole like day of bands, and every single one is on the soundtrack of the movie.
That's so cool.
Yeah, we'll hopefully do more of that kind of thing too to promote the movie when it comes out, because it was just so much fun. And like, everyone's a musician. You know, Alex and Joel are in Friendly Fire. I'm in Northern Lights. Our producer, Indy, he performs as Indy Bones. He does this kind of cool sort of outlaw country stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, even Jay, lead actress, she's in a group called Plant Based Disgrace. Awesome. You know, everyone, just about everyone in the production is, they're basically, it's either musicians or kind of film people, I guess. And sometimes there's a lot of crossovers between the two. You know, a lot of the, you know, our director of photography does a lot of band photography as well, and doing photo shoots with local artists and stuff. So there is a lot of crossover and music videos. I think he just did the Flange of Pennies video or something like that. And, you know, there's, everyone's kind of, I guess that's what drew everyone into the movie, is because they are music fans too. That's, you know, Indy, our producer, he loved the script, and he's a musician himself. And I think that's what kind of convinced him to sort of take a chance.
Cool. That's awesome, man. That's so cool, man. Like a very rock and roll film with rock and roll people, man. So it's pure through and through. And I love that. That's so cool. What about like for you, you talk about going to music college and studying the fine filmmaking and art and everything else. You know, it's always been a topic of debate for a lot of people. Like, do I go to school and study the craft, or do I just go out there and learn the chops that, you know, get my feet dirty and just learn the hard way? I mean, what's your take and advice in this topic?
I mean, I think both options are valid. It really kind of depends on you. Like, going to uni can be really handy to, you know, they've got all sorts of equipment there. If you make the most of it, then you've got access to all this crazy gear. You can use your time to, you know, to experiment and, you know, make different films and sort of hone your craft that way. I mean, it depends. I mean, you can get 4K phones, 4K cameras on an iPhone nowadays. You know, you could go off and shoot a whole movie on a phone. Like, there really kind of isn't anything stopping you at this point. I think it's really just for you if you think that, like, that sort of thing could be handy. I mean, the other thing too is, like, going through university or whatever, some sort of education, you can kind of get contacts. You know, there's the networking aspects of it too. Like, I mean, so much of what I've been able to do, I've been able to go back to the uni I went to, and they helped us out. And you know, anything, any like locations they had access to that we could use for the film, we were able to come in and do. And like, I even had a few of my old lecturers and you know, and like Brett from MIC and stuff come and have little cameos in the movie too.
That's so cool, man. That's so cool. I really dig that. So from here, you said you're shopping for distribution and everything right now. You're pretty optimistic. You feel like, things are going to take off. It's going to happen. Seeing this on the big screen, how's that going to feel for you, man? You're right. Like seeing this film on the big screen for you, how will that moment feel for you, do you reckon?
Just pretty surreal. I mean, it's I still kind of can't wrap my head around it. It's pretty crazy. This is sort of what I've been working towards now for over a decade.
Do you feel like it's like something similar to, I don't know, playing your first concert in a band, or playing like a big show with some of your favorite bands? Is it, do you compare it like that, or is it just a next level thing for you?
Yeah, it's, I mean, similar in some ways, but it is kind of very different too. It's very, very like, I guess it's a very kind of different with film. It's, you know, it's more of a visual experience, and, it's a Yeah, I'm not really sure how to compare it, really. I mean, they are kind of very different, but they're still kind of coming from a similar place, you know? It feels like, you know, the two are very sort of intertwined.
Yeah. That's really good answer, man. That's cool. So from here, like, you know, let's say the movie picks up steam and it takes off and everything like that. You know, and people watch it and support it and all the rest. Obviously more ideas on the table on the road ahead for you creatively.
Yeah, I'm already about 50 pages into writing my next script, actually.
Sweet.
It's technically set in the same universe. I've had this idea for a very long time, and I incorporated a couple of characters into the Pretty Boy script. So then when we shot those scenes with those characters, it just made sense. It's like, oh, okay, we've got to kind of continue this on and see where this story is going to go.
Yeah.
But because I think it's a really cool. We've decided to call the Switch Cinematic Universe, or ICU for short. that was one of our crew members suggested that at the wrap party.
That's sick. So we're talking about the ICU, which is kind of interesting. You said you talked about comic books and stuff as well. What was some of your comic books that you were into growing up?
I started with Ultimate Spider-Man. That was always my favorite, from a young age.
Nice.
And I kind of just spread out from there, I guess. I mean, these gravitate more towards things like Watchmen or Kingdom Come or The Boys, you know, Black Hammer, Doom Patrol. I guess those sort of superhero stories that have a bit more substance to them.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's I think it's important to have substance in a story, man. Like, these days, it's pretty easy to just slap together, you know, just a standard beat 'em up comic book with, you know, superheroes and supervillains. You know, it's kind of just not really reinventing the wheel. It's just, you know, yeah.
I mean, and there's so much potential with that too. Like, you have someone like the Hulk, who's like one of the most psychologically complex kind of superheroes out there. The way he's sort of created this sort of almost childlike idea of a because he couldn't sort of protect his own mother from being murdered by his dad as a kid, and how the kind of trauma sort of manifests itself through his superpowers and stuff. There's a gold mine there, and what they can be doing, I guess we're seeing it a bit more with TV shows now, like The Boys and like Doom Patrol and like even the Watchmen show or Peacemaker or Legion, or we're starting to see a bit more in that kind of world, those sort of TV shows exploring that side of things. But yeah, I still think there's so much more potential there in the genre.
Yeah, I feel like it's still in its baby stages, and they're just figuring things out as they go along, and you can see the progression as more and more things get created. So yeah, I'm all kinds of excited, and I'm definitely with you. Like, you know, complexity can sometimes, you know, be a bit more appealing than just, you know, as my mate and me were talking about the other day, just the '90s boom of tits and ass in comics was just ridiculous, you know, and it just lacked, you know, complex stories.
There was this whole kind of revolution in the late 80s when it was almost like comics being treated like real literature with like Watchmen and the Sandman and that sort of thing. It's like, what happened to that revolution? We need to kind of, I hope we get to see more kind of stories like that crop up.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I'm a huge fan of the dark romance of books like The Crow and, you know, even like vampire epics like 30 Days of Night, you know, which is just incredibly interesting storyline, you know, with a lush artistic landscape. It's it's very appealing. So really inspire our minds.
Definitely. And I don't know if you've read any like Scott Snyder's work, like American Vampire and Witches is fantastic.
Haven't read The Witches yet, but American Vampire is my jam. I dig that.
Yeah.
I've just recently been reading Bloodstained Teeth as well, which is super cool, man. It's one of the newer vampire titles that's out at the moment, and it's got a good take on the vampire genre. I give it the thumbs up. So yeah,
nice.
It's cool. Yeah, dude. But no, it's exciting, dude. And I love that you're able to blend those creative worlds and outlets like comic books, music, and filmmaking all into one amalgamation of awesomeness. I think that's incredibly commendable.
And, thanks.
Yeah, dude, I look forward to seeing what you know, what more do you do in the future, man?
I got a few fun little things in the pipeline at the moment.
Yeah, so I guess one thing, I won't hold you up too much longer, dude, but I guess one thing I wanted to ask you as well, like, in turn, you know, a lot of projects always, you know, going for funding and stuff like that. How's that process for you? Like, do you chase big funds or do you try to go for, you know, a realistic number for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, with Pretty Boys, it was kind of like, let's find the absolute bare minimum we can to make a movie. Mm-hmm. And sort of figuring out exactly what the movie needs, you know, and going, okay, we can't really do it for less than this amount. And then we just sort of went to independent sort of financier and just did it pretty small. But I think we'll probably have to increase the scale of things with the next movie. I think the ideas keep getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
I think that was part of the appeal, I guess, too, of making Pretty Boys, is that it's a drama. It's got these big musical numbers in it, but it's a pretty kind of straightforward, there's no special effects, you know, it's a very sort of grounded story. It was, you know, made the most sort of sense to go out and make. And the next thing I'm writing is a bit more like that, but amplified a little. It's a bit kind of crazier in some spots, but I think that's sort of the goal, I guess, keep kind of tackling bigger and bigger projects each time and sort of expanding the sort of scope and scale of what we're doing, because I've got so many stories I want to tell. It's really just like, okay, what can I get off the ground next? That's what I focus on, and then sort of build my way up. I've got these big epic things that I want to get around to one day when I can sort of reach that sort of level, hopefully. But I'd sort of get one project at a time. And I mean, we did the little horror short film, hopefully around Halloween. That'll be out before Pretty Boys is out. And that was just like a lot of fun, kind of going back and tackling the sort of short films that got me interested in filmmaking to begin with, but sort of doing it with the sort of crew and cast that I've worked with along the way that made something a bit better than I could have made back then. That sort of tapping into that same sort of, that sort of sense of fun, just doing just the kind of stuff that I love to watch, I guess.
Yeah. So, like, you know, you mentioned about, like, going to school and everything and learning the craft. Did you also, you know, find yourself studying or reading books on the art of script writing and filmmaking as well, just to sort of get ideas or perspective on what you're doing? Was that a part of it as well?
Yeah, when I was at uni particularly, I really did a deep dive into storytelling and going to like Joseph Campbell and looking at all those sort of connections between the mythology and storytelling, going all the way back to cave paintings. And you kind of see the way that people have been expressing their own sort of ideas and through different cultures throughout history and sort of just trying to soak up as much of that as possible. Yeah, just understanding visual storytelling from, reading books, watching documentaries, all of that sort of stuff, just trying to soak up as much information and knowledge as possible. Me figure out what kind of storyteller I want to be, I guess.
Yeah. That sounds good, man. That sounds really good. I mean, yeah, there's plenty of books out there and good ones, but there's also, you know, the fair share of not so good ones that, you know, from people that, you know, claim they know what they're talking about, but actually don't. So I guess what I'm saying is, do you find you've got to be careful about what materials you choose to look for advice and all the such? Yeah. Alrighty. So yeah, with looking for, you know, materials on the subject matter that you explore.
I think important thing too, I think most important, really studying your favorite artists, you know, read their screenplays, see what your favorite writers' screenplays are like, you know, watch interviews, hear them talk about the craft of screenwriting or storytelling, and sort of soak up as much information and knowledge as you can from like people that have actually been there and done it. You know, I think there's no use, you know, taking advice from failed screenwriters or failed filmmakers, you know what I mean?
Yeah, gotcha, man. Gotcha. That makes sense. And I won't hold you up much longer, man, because we're just having all kinds of wonderful technical issues here today. I'm so sorry about that.
All good.
But yeah, look, man, I'm really excited for you for the future. And obviously the last of the pretty boys is going to be a grand triumph for you, man. I believe in it. Your passion for it is just incredible. And the love you're getting from the people around you that have been a part of this is so good. So we're hoping for an October release. Is that correct?
More likely, late November, early December.
Awesome, man. Awesome.
Yeah. Cool. In the meantime, yeah, I'll have that my short film Vessels out before then. I got another little short I'm working on at the moment, and I'm also been doing a documentary about music. Been working on that on and off for the last 2 years. Yeah, we started pre-production early 2020, then COVID happened, and we had to set it aside.
Yeah.
And by the time it was safe to film again, Pretty Boys had been greenlit. So then I had to wait till we finished filming Pretty Boys. So I gave myself about 2 weeks off to, you know, play Mortal Kombat and stuff once we wrapped the movie. And then it was like back into straight into working in the documentary after that. So I've just been piecing that together. I just did my last interview last week. And so at some point that's in the pipeline too. I believe there's a trailer on YouTube somewhere.
Awesome, man. Well, man, any links, we'll chuck it in the description box for this episode. And, you know, hopefully more people will get behind and follow your adventures and support your amazing movie and everything else that you're creating, man.
Thanks.
Yeah, dude. Well, I won't hold you up, man. Thanks so much for sharing your happy days with me, bro. You're a fascinating human, dude. You've absolutely won me over with what you're doing. So, yeah, keep up the awesome work, bro.
No worries, man. Anytime.
Right on, dude. All right, we'll talk soon and we'll do a follow-up episode for sure, if that's cool.
Yeah, of course.
Heck yeah. All right, man. Talk soon, brother. And no worries. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too.
See ya.
And that was my chat with Dustin Schmidt. Thanks so much to Dustin for taking the time to share his happy days and give us a little insight into his filmmaking world, and as much as his rock and roll world, and talking about his upcoming film, The Last of the Pretty Boys. I reckon it's going to rock, man. I'm so excited for him and I'm so excited for this film. I urge each and every single one of you to go out there, follow him on the socials, and follow this journey, because I reckon this movie's going to kick some ass. So again, apologies for all the technical gremlins. I hope you stuck through it with me. Like I said, I cleaned it up as best as I could. And yeah, man, honestly, I am so grateful to each and every single one of you for taking the time to tune in and listen to Happy Days. It's great to see more and more people listening to it. And let's keep it going, man. Hit the subscribe button if you haven't done so already. If you're on Spotify, Apple, iTunes, whatever platform you listen to podcasts on, hit the subscribe button and go that one step further. Ring the notification bell. That way you know when new episodes are up, which they're up every Wednesday, basically from 6 a.m. But occasionally I have been known to do a double dose episode, which I am doing this week. We're going to have two episodes this week. How exciting is that? Tomorrow I speak to comic book creator Peter Lane, whose debut comic, Sky's Cavern Library, is out now. So exciting. It's a great time to be a creator, man. What a time to be alive. I hope these two episodes inspire and motivate you to go out there and create an idea, or just be inspired to just live a happy life. Because we're all here to live our happy days, right? So have yourselves a positive week. May be filled with awesomeness, and I hope to have you all here next week for another awesome episode of Happy Days. Till then, I've been Jesse. You've been awesome. Thanks for tuning in, and thank you for your support. Peace.